Start your recording.
Hello, this is your SunSounds volunteer reader, Priscilla Corja, in Flagstaff with Northland Views. Today is November 26, 2024. I'll be reading from Journal AZ, Nikki Check Wins Yavapai County District 3 Seat by Christopher Fox Graham, published on November 13, 2024. With final numbers still coming in from the Yavapai County Recorder, the Larson newspaper's decision desk has called the Yavapai County Director 3 seat for Democrat Nikki Check, defeating Republican Lori Drake. With 100% of votes counted on Thursday, November 14th, Check won by 226 votes, 12,763 to 12,537. Check had an opening lead of more than 1,000 votes at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, November 5th, an hour after polls closed. But those votes only counted the early ballots mailed in before Election Day. Early voting has been a staple of the election process in Arizona since the 1990s, and there is not the same partisan lean as in other states where Democrats tend to vote early and Republicans vote on Election Day. More Republicans the Democrats mailed in their early ballots in Arizona. Drake has never had a lead over Check. As more votes were counted, Check's lead over Drake dropped to 800 votes. Then, over consecutive days, Check maintained a lead at 400 votes, then 200 votes, 268 votes, 243 votes, and finally 201 votes on Monday, November 11th. But as of late, Tuesday, November 12th, Check's lead had doubled to 402 as officials counted early ballots dropped off on Election Day, which statewide and countywide have been favoring Democrats. At this point, Drake would have to have earned more than 61% of these final uncounted ballots, but her gains have been modest, ranging from 40% in Sedona and Village of Oak Creek precincts to 54% in her most supportive district. While Check's current 402 lead may diminish, there are simply not enough votes mathematically to change the election trajectory in Drake's favor, leading to Larson newspaper's decision desk calling the race for Check on morning of Wednesday, November 11th. Big thanks to election workers who tabulated ballots through the week, Check stated on November 13th. With final results in, I am honored that the people of Yavapai County's 3rd District have entrusted me with duty and responsibility that comes with being supervisor. I look forward to an engaging and productive 4 years ahead as I strive to deliver results for our communities. I want to acknowledge my future team of committee members and volunteers that not only made this campaign possible, but also made it fun. I am proud of this positive race that we ran and am excited to serve the people of Sedona and the Verde Valley on Team Yavapai County. The current Yavapai Board of Supervisors will call a meeting to officially canvass the election and make the results official. The Republican candidates who won their July primary races will take their seats without facing any challengers in the general election. Brooks Compton won the Republican race for District 1 with 41%, followed by Greg Mangiarelli with 36%, David McNabb with 12%, and Deb Pernice with 10%. In District 2, incumbent James Gregory won 58% of the vote. Chris Concoyo, a Yavapai College governing board member, narrowly defeated District 4 incumbent Greg Brown by 138 votes to receive 48% of the votes in a three-way matchup with Lucy Reyna Wheat. Incumbent Mary Mallory won re-election in the primary for District 5 with 70% of the vote over Richard Tupac. The two incumbents and three newcomers will subsequently be sworn into the office after the first year. And this was the end of the article. Camp Verde Area Students Exhibit Art by Joseph K. Giddens, November 13, 2024. 54 students from Nicholas Papp's Spanish class at Camp Verde High School took part in the recently formed Verde Valley Cultural Collective's Dia de los Muertos Art Contest. Their artwork, along with pieces created by students from Camp Verde Elementary, Beaver Creek School, and Desert Star Community School, was showcased at the Camp Verde Community Library from Thursday, October 24th to Wednesday, November 6th. The Verde Valley Cultural Collective is a group of artists that are involved in supporting venues for art in Camp Verde in the Verde Valley, VVCC co-founder Barry Brennan said. We have the students from the Camp Verde schools submitting artwork that follows the same themes of the Dia de los Muertos because it has been Hispanic Heritage Month and the Day of the Dead is coming up November 1st. The library held a reception on Tuesday, October 29th, during which the collective members announced the winners of the high school art contest. Amber Benelli took first, Lucia Bautista second, and Deanna Bradley third. Ellie Andre earned an honorable mention for her poem, Le Dio la Oruga, or The Caterpillar Told Him. Students in lower grades submitted coloring papers depicting different elements of Dia de Muertos, including marigolds, remembrance altars, La Catrina, a female skeleton associated with the holiday, and alebrijes, fantastical quimeras that are popular in Mexican folk art. The Camp Verde community donated the paper for the students, most of whom created their Day of the Dead theme work in watercolors, crayon, and pencil, although a few incorporated crepe paper or colorful pipe cleaners to give their works more dimension. We really love connecting with the schools because Dia de los Muertos is a very important holiday, and the students are learning that it's not Halloween, that it is a holiday of remembrance for your loved ones who have passed. CVCL Spanish Outreach and Children's Lead Library Specialist Leticia Ancira said. Ancira also discussed how the holiday emerged from syncretism between Mexican religious traditions and Spanish Catholicism. Benelli, a Camp Verde high school freshman, said that she included religious themes that she learned about her church in her artwork, as well as cultural elements such as calaveras, commonly known as sugar skulls, that she learned about in her Spanish class. The amount of work and her talent is obvious, beautiful, and she did a bit of geometrics too. There's some cubism involved, Brennan said of her work. Benelli said that the main figure of her piece was her favorite component because she was able to make it the most detailed. It's about having a person who is there to help you through struggles, Bautista said. Then when they're gone, they are still within you and they're still pushing you, but now just the memory and the spirit of them. Bautista said her great-grandfather, who died last year during Thanksgiving, is her own example of that philosophy. I love Edgar Allan Poe. He's one of my favorite poets, Benelli said. I started reading him in eighth grade. I love writing. I write music, essays, poems all the time, even without school being the incentive for me to do it. I do it on my own, no matter what, and it's just kind of a passion. I learned from children that art is so important to them, Ancira said. We should all be doing some art. It really brings a lot of healing, calmness, tranquility. And that is the end of the article. Sammy Davis is Sedona's Musical Icon by Joseph K. Giddens, November 19th, 2024. You gotta love it, and I love it, and I look forward to doing it every time I step on the stage, Sedona musician Sammy Davis said on why he keeps performing. I have that bug that keeps you going. It was built in me. I grew up, I've always sung, from a little kid all the way to growing up through college. Music has been a part of my life. Davis has logged thousands of miles on the pavement and thousands of hours behind the microphone after starting out playing 6 days a week in Minneapolis. Sundays were for traveling. I'm originally from Chicago, so my neighborhood was loaded with the talents of the Emotions, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Davis recalled. But I was singing rock just as much as I was singing the Motown music. One of the things I've always wanted to do as a performer was to perform with some of the Motown groups, which I've done. I've opened up with Temptations, The Supremes. It's been an interesting ride. Some of the very first songs were gospel because I grew up coming out of church and singing in neighborhood choirs and neighborhood groups, Davis continued. That rock influence always kept that energy level going for me. The rock songs that I used to do, from Inks to Journeys, inspired me, and that's what keeps it interesting. I'm fortunate enough to sing those different styles, and that's why I can't really tell you all that I'm R&B singer or rock singer or blues. I do them all. Davis said the joy of performing has kept him honing his craft over the decades. I was brought here from Minneapolis on tour to play at Los Abrigados Resort, 1991. And we came out to play for 2 weeks, and I said, the next time that I come back here, I'm staying, Davis recalled. Several months later, he returned to Sedona while touring with his band, Sammy Fortune, and has remained ever since, logging some of his most memorable music moments here. I opened up for the Temptations in Sedona over at the Cultural Park, and a few months prior to that, I opened up for them in Atlantic City, Davis said, and I got to do something that very few people get to do before the Temptations come on stage. Behind the stage, they get into a circle, and they put their hands together and do a prayer. And they called me to put my hand in with them before they went out on stage and did the prayer here in Sedona. I don't think my feet ever hit the stage. I was floating across the stage, David said. A more sobering experience was the loss of his home in the village of Oak Creek to a fire on May 25th, 2012. A blaze at an adjacent residence burned down both houses. The community came in and helped out all the people who were hurt by the fire. It wasn't just me, Davis said. We've had quite a few friends that we stayed at until we got back on our feet. People helped us out, and that's why I like giving back every chance I get to help other organizations. He attributes his resiliency to a lifetime spent on stage. You're always going to have things that go wrong. It happens in every performance, Davis said. You're not ever going to get a perfect performance. Sometimes you have a microphone problem or something out of key, but you get this experience behind you to where you can recognize, okay, this is happening, and that's where your experience comes through, and you have to work through it and keep the show going to where it's not noticeable. But I'm pretty good at that. He recalled one show that he played in North Dakota during a blizzard. The snow was so heavy that the band couldn't see behind them on the drive out, and Davis ended up arriving 2 hours late with several other members of the band still en route. They started the show with himself, a bass player, a guitarist, and a keyboardist before the full band arrived. We improvised until they got there. Little things like that, you have to bounce back from, Davis said. And that's the end of the article. You're tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona, and you're listening to Northland Views. Essential Car Care Class Coming to Camp Verde Library by staff reporter on November 22, 2024. Join the Camp Verde Community Library for a class covering essential car care. From filters and fluids to tires and batteries, you'll gain the knowledge to keep your car running smoothly. This 5-week class starts at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, November 13th, and continues every week at the same time, day and time through Wednesday, December 11th. The class will enable attendees to save money, learn to handle basic maintenance yourself, avoiding costly mechanic fees, prevent breakdowns, spot potential issues early, and prevent unexpected roadside trouble, extend a car's life, proper care, keep your vehicle running smoothly for longer. Boost their confidence. Feel empowered knowing how to take care of your own car. Topics will include general maintenance and diagnostics, air and cabin filters, tire care and maintenance, battery basics, lighters and wipers, onboard diagnostics and smog, locks and security, special tools and safety, and paint and bodywork basics. Participants will receive information cards to take home. Spaces are limited, so register today at https://yavapai.events/event/carcare101learn basics 7902 or by calling the library at 928-554-8380. The Camp Verde Community Library is located at 130 North Blackbridge Bridge Road, just off Montezuma Castle Highway in Camp Verde. The library is open from Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and on Friday and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. For more information about this or any other library program, visit the library's webpage at www.campverde.az.gov/cvcl or call 928-554-8380 during library open hours. And that's the end of the article. Sedona Red Rock High Awards Its Student Athletes by Joseph K. Giddens, November 24, 2024. Sedona Red Rock High School hosted its inaugural fall sports banquet on the evening of Thursday, November 7th. We are excited to celebrate the accomplishments of our fall sports team at the upcoming sports banquets, school staff wrote in an October email. These events are a great opportunity to recognize the hard work, dedication, and achievements of our student athletes and coaches through the season, as RRHS Athletic Director Pedro Ortega Sr. said. The banquet will likely be a new tradition for those participating in spring and winter sports. As a part of large initiative by Superintendent Tom Swaniger, PhD, to increase student athletic participation, the coaches of each team presented certificates, varsity letters, and trophies for most improved sportsmanship and most valuable player to students. Where you learn about life is out there on the athletic field, and how to win, how to lose, teamwork, hard work, and what it takes, volunteer track and field coach Lou Hoyt said to the students. So as important as academics are, sports are super important. You learn values in sports that you use all your life, so I want to applaud every one of you. Volleyball. The Scorpion volleyball season ended with a record of 2-15, with the team's only two wins coming from its first game of the season against Mayer and its last game of the season against Phoenix Christian. We had a lot of girls that had to play up and play out of position to get through the season, but it was just an unbelievable, great group of girls that I had this year. Hard work, commitment, head coach John Parks said of his 30th year at the school. Most valuable player, Amy Bredfield. Sportsmanship, Katrina Lee. Most improved, Sheila Montez. We appreciate you guys being here, getting to practice, Parks said to the parents. And then, of course, the players. It's a commitment for you guys, because a lot of you guys like to make your money. I'm going to give you a little advice here. You're going to get to do that for another 50 years. The next 4 years are going to be gone. You can't go back and do this. Play those sports. Swimming. She scored the most points for our team this season, but that's not why I'm giving her MVP, Thornton said of Zinnia McConnon. She was the most valuable player because she has really worked on those details her whole season. She challenged herself, and she brought a really coachable attitude to the season. Tomorrow, she'll go down to compete in the state meet. Most valuable player, Zinnia McConnon. Sportsmanship, Alana Schrader. Most improved, Angelina Paley. Schrader was helpful with showing the younger kids the ropes, and she qualified for state, but she didn't make the cut, Thornton said. She qualified in 100 breaststrokes and didn't make the cut. She attended all our meetings with some time improvements and had a solid senior season. Cross country. Cross country head coach Cody McKesson described the end of the season as bittersweet. It didn't end how we wanted it to, McKesson said. We had two runners that were very capable of making it to state. Our top boy, his fastest time this year, was 17 minutes, 40 seconds, and 40 milliseconds. And for the one meet that was he needed to qualify, he ran like 19 minutes. Our top girl was 0.03 seconds away from qualifying for states. That's an eye blink. Most valuable player, Troike Carstens. Sportsmanship, Aubrey Doyle. Most improved, Sunny Flores. We're planting a seed, and we're going to water that seed. So by next season, that seed will be a tree, and we're going to try and make our best season next season, McKesson said. Boys soccer. The inaugural soccer team with head coach Gavin Shippen ended with this team posting an overall record and 6-4-1. In conference play, an original record of 4-1-1. Shippen said that he was committed to returning the program next season. We made a lot of memories this season, Shippen said. Our bus had some technical difficulties coming back from the White Mountains, and only about 10 minutes outside of Sholo, I think that the radiator blew, and we ended up staying there until it was about 3 a.m. So we went to the Sholo basketball team, and we're playing basketball from about 1:30 to 2:30 a.m. None of us will forget that. Most valuable player, Ramon Betancourt. Sportsmanship, Owen Jimenez. Most improved, Christian Cordova. We didn't make playoffs, but it came full circle because my freshman year, we had this exact same record as this year, Betancourt says. But Sedona hadn't been to the state finals in over 20 years. In my sophomore year, we went all the way. And then the year after, we went to the semis. That's definitely my favorite moment, showing that we had the talent to go all the way. It's almost become a repeat of the story of this year. We're losing almost the same amount of seniors after this season, Shippen said. 13 guys are graduating and moving on to the next steps of their lives and the next level, whether it's work or school. So replacing some of our core guys is a challenge for us, but we're ready for it. And that is the end of the article. Freshman David Beltran earns Sedona Soccer's Golden Boot by Joseph K. Giddens, published on November 25th, 2024. Freshman David Beltran was named the winner of the Sedona Red Rock High School's boys soccer team's with 6th annual Golden Boot Award during the SRRHS Fall Sports Banquet on Thursday, November 7th. The Golden Boot Award was created by former head coach Sam Blom, who is now a Sedona Oak Creek School District's governing board member. The award is earned by whichever player has the most goals and assists at the end of the season. Head coach Gavin Shippen said that he looks forward to continuing the tradition since it gives equal weight to assists and would support his focus on passing and ball control. Beltran accumulated 8 goals and 5 assists this season, narrowly beating senior Alexis Flores Casas, who had 9 goals and 3 assists. The prior winners of the Golden Boot were Clark Borjón in 2019, Luis Beltran in 2020 and 2021, and Carlos Gonzalez in 2022 and 2023. Beltran said that his favorite memory this season was that of the team's September 10th home game against Camp Verde High School Cowboys, where the Scorpions were down 3-0 at halftime. Beltran proceeded to kick 3 consecutive goals in the second half for the team to walk away with the tie. It was an amazing hat trick of a game for David, with some highlight reel goals in there for sure, Shippen said. The fact he's a freshman and he played midfield a lot is impressive. How he won this award, Blum said. I was not surprised that he did as well this year as he did in 8th grade. He's improved his skill level and he's gotten taller since I coached him 6 months ago. Beltran can change the game and he's going to get better every year. Shippen said that while he was officiating middle school games last season, he noted Beltran's talent and commented that Beltran had to decide either to play varsity soccer or for Major League Soccer Development Program, MLS Next. When you play in the MLS Next League, you can't play high school, Shippen said. David had a hard decision to make. Do I play with my club team or do I play high school? Do I try to take my soccer field as far as I can with MLS Next? Or do I play with my friends and my companions and all my classmates? It was a tough decision for him, and I hope that he's happy with the decision that he made, because I know that there are a lot of good memories created and hopefully learned a lot from us too. I'm your volunteer reader, Priscilla Corja. This was Northland Views. Join us each weekday for news from around the Northland. Thank you for listening.